Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Lawrence, here with you until 2 o'clock. This hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, online at CarX.com. Ray, let's go!
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Poof! David Ross appears. The manager of the Chicago Cubs joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline.
What's up, Lawrence? How are you, my man?
Do you think that you have a little bit more of a diversified offense now?
Oh, for sure. I think we have a little bit more contact-oriented group. You know, I think it's all a balance of finding your mix offensively.
Talking with David Ross, the Cubs manager here on The Score. I started off before you jumped on the line with me, Rossi. I was talking about Seiya Suzuki. Seeing the amount of pitches that he sees in an at-bat is really cool. Did you know that that was in his profile when they told you that he was going to be a part of your team?
Definitely. I think, you know, when we looked at Seiya
I don't know what happened there. Like, we need to call Ross back because I think the Cylons got him.
Attention, attention. His Eminence, the Imperious Leader, will be with us shortly. His ship has landed at the air dome.
I've got a theory that there hasn't been any improvement in actual cell phone stuff because now it's just a computer. And so when you try to have a call with someone, the Cylons come and get you.
Presenting His Eminence, our Imperious Leader.
It's the engagement process. It's him asking the questions to have the engagement with Jason Hayward and Ian Happ and the other outfielders to talk about how Wrigley plays.
So people are like, he sounded like Satan when the Cylons got him. We'll play with the snippet for the people that didn't hear it. And then we can have some fun with it. Like for the music behind it or something. I don't know. Do you think that you have a little bit more of a diversified offense now?
Oh, for sure. I think we have a little bit more contact-oriented group, you know. I think it's all a balance of finding your mix offensively.
I don't know what happened there.
Make me a bicycle clown!
That is A-plus work from Ray Diaz. Oh, my God. Let's get it. Bass drop. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. We have got a big show for you today. Mark DeRosa from MLB Network is going to join us. We are going to talk with our guy, Russ Dorsey, and Darnell Mayberry is going to be on the show. We had a great transition, but it ran a little long, so we got to take a break. Back after this on The Score.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
It's time for the Cubs Minute.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air.
Fly the W.
Wrigleyville fans are awesome. Great food. It's, you know, it's tough to beat.
Cubbies. The Cubs Minute on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
It's game two of this three-game series between the Chicago Cubs and the Tampa Bay Rays. Now the 2-0, the runner goes, deep drive to left. This is trouble. This is going to leave the yard, a long home run. Wander Franco about halfway up into the bleachers in left center, and it is now 3-0 Tampa. Deep drive left center field. This ball's got a chance. It is gone. Two-run homer, Patrick Wisdom. Cubs are right back in the ballgame. It's now 4-3. Warner pulls one fair. Inside third down the left field line. Base hit. It's going to hug the wall and go near the corner. Racing toward third, Frazier. He's going to try to score. Here comes the relay throw. Warner going to third. He's got a triple. A run is in. And the pitch on the way. Way outside. Wild pitch. A run is going to score. Here comes Horner down the line to score, and now it's a 6-5 ball game. Wild pitch, and the 1-2 swing and a miss. Strike three, and the ball game is over. The ball dropped by Zunino. He tagged VR, and Tampa has beaten the Cubs here at Wrigley by a score of 6-5.
Rossi's boys don't quit though. Highlights courtesy of the Score. Sorry about the Justin Steele prop from yesterday. Someone's already complaining on the text lines. You know what I say to you? 1-800-GAMBLER. Don't bet more than you can afford to lose, son. Seiya Suzuki had 3 walks in the game. His current on-base percentage is .581. It's ridiculous the amount of pitches that he's seeing per at bat. When we return, Mark DeRosa of MLB Network is going to tell you what former teammate he reminds him of. That's next here on The Score.
Yo, Holmes!
Lawrence Holmes.
Holmes runs it really well.
Noon to 2.
Holmes doing what Holmes does.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yo, Holmes!
And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Red hot Mark DeRosa with a 3-game home run streak. Deep to right this time. Austin Kearns will watch it go. 4 in a row. With a wind blowing in. His 7th home run over his last 16 games. So 7 homers his last 16, Bob. His career high in a single season was 13 prior to this year.
Mark DeRosa had a couple of his best years as a pro playing for the Chicago Cubs. That 2008 season, an .857 OPS is staring at me. For 149 games, that'll definitely work. Now he does an incredible job on MLB Network as co-host of MLB Network's MLB Central, which you can watch here, 8 a.m., plus MLB Network. They've got the Braves and the Dodgers coming up at 2 o'clock our time. He's nice enough to join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. D-Row, thank you so much for joining me, man. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So I was watching you on MLB Central a couple days ago, and you did this 5-minute breakdown of Seiya Suzuki, and it was dope. Like seeing what the producers were doing for you and the way that you were kind of rocking the telestrator, asking them to run it back so that you could show what was going on. When you watch this guy, and he's only been here a week and a half, but when you watch him, what are you seeing?
I mean, I think I'm seeing what the fans are seeing at home. He doesn't give away any at bats, and that's hard to do. I mean, especially in today's you know, specialized world of pitching where the ball is exploding. You're really not getting to see the starter more than twice in a game, so you're having to cover. Like, I go back to when we had meetings. We focused strictly on the starting pitcher, and then maybe you dabble in a few relievers and take a look at who their high leverage guys are. Now you got to run the gamut because there's a chance you see a ton of different pitchers and different arm angles in a series. They're not giving you a chance to get comfortable. So I think for me, the beauty of what I see with him is just his ability to control the strike zone, to control the at-bat, to dictate the at-bat to the pitcher, to stay in, and knowing that he's got some light tower power to begin with, just a pretty, pretty elite hitter. And I always felt like, you know, Kosuke Fukudome came over with us in the 2007, 2008, kind of right in that pocket. And there's a ton of pressure for him to get. He got off to that opening day where he hit the 3-for-3 and hit the homer off Eric Gagne.
Yo, Holmes!
Lawrence Holmes.
Holmes runs it really well.
Noon to 2.
Holmes doing what Holmes does.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yo, Holmes!
And 670thescore.com. In Odyssey Station.
Red hot Mark DeRosa with a three-game home run streak. Deep to right this time. Austin Kearns will watch it go. Four in a row. With a wind blowing in. His seventh home run over his last 16 games. So seven homers his last 16, Bob. His career high in a single season was 13 prior to this year.
Mark DeRosa had a couple of his best years as a pro playing for the Chicago Cubs. That 2008 season, 857 OPS is staring at me. For 149 games, that'll definitely work. Now he does an incredible job on MLB Network as co-host of MLB Network's MLB Central, which you can watch here, 8 a.m., plus MLB Network. They've got the Braves and the Dodgers coming up at 2 o'clock our time. He's nice enough to join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. D-Ro, thank you so much for joining me, man. I really appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So I was watching you on MLB Central a couple days ago, and you did this five-minute breakdown of Seiya Suzuki, and it was dope. Like seeing what the producers were doing for you and the way that you were kind of rocking the telestrator, asking them to run it back so you could show what was going on. When you watch this guy, and he's only been here a week and a half, but when you watch him, what are you seeing?
I mean, I think I'm seeing what the fans are seeing at home. He doesn't give away any at-bats, and that's hard to do. I mean, especially in today's, you know, specialized world of pitching where the ball is exploding. You're really not getting to see the starter more than twice in a game, so you're having to cover. Like, I go back to when we had meetings. We focused strictly on the starting pitcher, and then maybe you dabble in a few relievers and take a look at who their high leverage guys are. Now you got to run the gamut because there's a chance you see a ton of different pitchers and different arm angles in a series. They're not giving you a chance to get comfortable. So I think for me, the beauty of what I see with him is just his ability to control the strike zone, to control the at-bat, to dictate the at-bat to the pitcher, to stay in, and knowing that he's got some light tower power to begin with, just a pretty, pretty elite hitter. And I always felt like, you know, Kosuke Fukudome came over with us in the 2007, 2008, kind of right in that pocket. And there's a ton of pressure for him to get. He got off to that opening day where he hit the 3-for-3 and hit the homer off Eric Gagne, and then it kind of started to go south for him a little bit. I always feel like, especially for a guy like Seiya Suzuki, to come over and to get off to a hot start and to be able to relax and to drive to the yard relaxed and to know that the fans are starting to fall in love with you and they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt if you struggle a little bit. I always think, like, man, getting off to this nice start certainly got to help them.
What are the things that, maybe we don't take into account when we're talking about a player coming over for another league and the pressures that they're under, both personally and professionally?
Well, I think first off is the language barrier, right? How are you going to endear yourself to the guys in the team if you can't communicate with them fully? I think that's always number one. You want to be comfortable when you walk in the door. So how comfortable is Suzuki? I'm sure he's a heck of a lot comfortable now getting off to the start he's gotten off to. But just being able to interact with your teammates in the downtime. And then I think it's going out there and trying to understand how big league pitchers are going to attack you. What their fastballs play like. What the breaking ball plays like. I mean, you can tell yourself to your blue in the face that you got an idea and watch video of Corbin Burns or a Brandon Woodruff or an Adam Wainwright. But until you get in a box and are able to track all their pitches, you don't truly have an understanding of who's got a little sharper bite on their breaking stuff, who's got a little late life through the zone on their fastball, who's got a little bit more ride on their two-seamer. So I think he's getting a chance to kind of cut his teeth, and you know teams are going to try and make adjustments on him second time through, but I'm sure he's going to have to make adjustments back.
Dero, when I was watching video of Seiya in Japan, I fell in love with the leg kick. I was like, man, you know the loading mechanism for him on the leg kick is pretty dope. He shortened that here. How hard is that to do? That quickly, like, into your major league career to, like, completely kind of change what your swing looks like?
You know, it's funny you say that because I think back to Ohtani coming over, and he kind of struggled his first spring. And as he progressed and started to find what he's, I mean, obviously what he's become now, he shortened it down too. I think talking to a lot of veteran hitters that played kind of in my generation as young players and then are kind of either still in the game but at the end of the rope or have just retired recently, you have to eliminate as much movement as possible up there just because of the sheer velocity and sheer explosion of the stuff they're seeing. I think to Buster Posey, he was a high leg kick guy when he first came up in 2010, had a little bit more play in his hands. And then last year to watch him kind of recapture glory, it was a different guy at the plate. It was a guy who wasn't really getting that huge high leg kick. He raised his hands a little bit higher to be more direct and take a little bit movement out. So the fact that he's able to make these adjustments, but what he does understanding the strike zone, I think, and understanding what he does well is what's been most impressive because, I mean, it's only normal to be a little nervous and you know, when you're in a slump, so to speak, you want to hit yourself out of it. And sometimes the best thing to do is, during a slump, Chipper Jones always used to say to me, try not to go 0 for 4, because it seems like that's every night. So it's like, what do? Work a walk. Go 0 for 3 one night. Get a bunt down. Go 0 for 2 with a walk instead of taking a collar. It just seems like he gives himself a chance every time up.
When you made the comparison to Aramis Ramirez, like my ears perked up. Yeah. I was like, let me rewind that because I want to see it. So when you say that there are elements to what Suzuki is that remind you of Aramis, what are you saying?
Well, I always try and look at a guy's setup and their body movements, right? Like he kind of hangs his bat out in front of him at the start, and that's something that was like a kind of a signature move for Aramis. His hands like in front of his face, almost getting ready to just destroy the baseball. And then I look at the ability to go gap to gap, and then the ability to have tough ABs consistently with runners in scoring position. And that was always Rammer's big calling card. Nobody on. Yeah, he was probably not as locked in as when it was second and third and one out. But, man, just a guy who could sniff out an RBI and just consistently. It didn't matter if we were at PNC in Pittsburgh on a Tuesday or we were in Yankee Stadium with fans breathing down their throats. He just always seemed to have the ability to have consistent quality ABs and stack them on top of each other.
I know that you guys were in the league around the same time, but do you know David Ross any bit?
I know David very well.
What do you think of him?
I absolutely love the guy. I mean, he is. I'll say this about David Ross. The thing I respect most about him, obviously, is the career he's had, grinding it out, peaks and valleys of being a backup catcher and working himself into a starting catcher and being a mentor and being selfless as a manager and as a player, wanting the best for the guy next to him, even if it took kind of a tough conversation. And there's not too many guys that have the ability to tell you the honest truth, good, bad, or indifferent, and get the same reaction, whether they're telling you the greatest thing or the worst thing. He is just an absolutely awesome guy to be around.
I love that this team looks like, to me, a team that is going to be easier for him to kind of assert himself as the manager, because they're less of his teammates that are now on the team. And so it also looks like to me, D-Row, that they're trying to put an emphasis on bat on the ball and getting balls in play, yeah, which I think plays to his strength as a manager.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, it had to be a little bit awkward having to manage some guys trying to go out and take the ball from John Lester when, I mean, John Lester's probably 60% of the reason that David Ross ended up, he might be more percentage of why he ended up in Chicago to kind of be his personal catcher those 2 or 3 years there. But this team definitely will kind of mirror what their manager believes in. And I have seen that where they're focusing on more bat to ball skills. But I think the thing for me is that the honesty's in the room. And they're kind of building towards something, and they know they can go and talk to him at any time. I think the thing that kind of jumps off out at me was what the Anthony Rizzos and the Chris Bryants and the Javi Baez's did in a Cubs uniform. I mean, that stuff might never be matched. I mean, I certainly thought about what it would be like to be on the team that broke the curse. You put that uniform on, that's all you think about. So for them to do the heroic things that they were able to do in 2016 will never be forgotten. But then you see them move on, and you're kind of expecting this, not a long rebuild, but you're expecting like a reimagining. And that's what I think Jed Hoyer's done. Like the Seiya Suzuki, the Stroman deal kind of came out of left field for me. The fact that they were in on Correa, I mean, it kind of just seems like they want a different feel moving forward, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think they're set up for a ton of success rather quickly.
Well, D-Ro, I appreciate you jumping on, man. The show's fantastic. MLB Central, I check it out. Take good care of my friend Sierra Santos, who's doing quick pitch over there. Yeah. She's good people. And thanks so much for being on the show, man. I appreciate it.
No, thanks for having me, man. I enjoyed it.
That is Mark DeRosa. Man, I want to have him on more often. He is fun to talk to. I love guys that know Rossi, too. And the thing is that Rossi is a little sandpapery, and I like that about him. I highly recommend, and I've said this since we've been doing the David Ross show, you should read his book, Teammate. Like, you should order it. I read it as soon as Mitch told me. He's like, hey, I know that you had the thing where it was you and Joe, but now it's going to be Rossi. So we're going to do that still. I was like, oh, okay. Immediately ordered David Ross's book and read it cover to cover. If you want to know like what influences the manager of the Cubs and how he got to this point, you will enjoy it. And the foreword is written by Theo, so you'll dig it. Great stuff from D-Raw. I'm glad we got him. We got to keep him. We got to get him back on the show the next time. Make sure you watch him on MLB Central, 8 a.m. our time on MLB Network. Russ Dorsey is going to join me to talk more baseball next here on The Score.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.